chapter 5, Genesis chapter 5. And we're not going to read this whole chapter, but I do want us to look at just a few of these verses, beginning in verse 1. This is the book of the generations of Adam. When God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. Male and female, he created them, and he blessed them and named them man or Adam when they were created. When Adam had lived 130 years, he fathered a son in his own likeness after his image and named him Seth. The days of Adam after he fathered Seth were 800 years. And he had other sons and daughters, and thus all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. When Seth had lived 105 years, he fathered Enosh. Seth lived after he fathered Enosh 807 years, and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Seth were 912 years. And he died. When Enosh had lived 90 years, he fathered Kenan. Enosh lived after he fathered Kenan 815 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Enosh were 905 years and he died. When Kenan had lived 70 years, he fathered Mahalalel. Kenan lived after he fathered Mahalalel 840 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Kenan were 910 years and he died. When Mahalalel had lived 65 years, he fathered Jared. Mahalalel lived after he fathered Jared 830 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years. And he died. When Jared had lived 162 years, he fathered Enoch. Jared lived after he fathered Enoch 800 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he fathered Methuselah. Enoch walked with God after he fathered Methuselah 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. Thus ends the reading of God's word. Let's pray. Father, as we think about our first parents, Adam and Eve, and the succeeding generations, Lord, that recurring phrase is stark. It is shocking. And he died. And he died. And he died. And Lord, how we thank you that Enoch didn't die. Because, Lord, you took him. You took him to your glorious heaven. And Lord, how we thank you that your word records for us this amazing event that took place in history at the beginning of the world. Lord, 6,000 years ago, you recorded these events that took place those thousands of years ago so that we would be impressed that because of Adam's sin, there's death. But you have the power to deliver us. We thank you that the whole Bible is the message of life and hope in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we read over in Hebrews chapter 11 that Enoch was a man of faith, faith in the promised Redeemer that you had announced as you cursed the serpent, that in the fullness of time a seed of the woman would come who would crush the serpent's head, who would be the Savior. He would be bruised, but he would crush the serpent's head. And Lord Jesus, how we thank you that you were willing to be bruised, that you were willing to lay down your life so that we might have eternal life as we believe in you. We thank you, O Lord, for that precious verse, John 3:16. And Lord, as we think together this evening of the true gospel and how there are false messiahs and false gospels running around in our culture today, Lord, that you would recapture our hearts to have hope in Jesus, and that you would equip us to better be able to explain and share the good news of Jesus with those around us, so that you, Lord, would be praised as you save your lost sheep. Hear our cry, Lord. Save us. Save us as individuals. Save our families, Lord. Save our church family. Lord, come and be present with us. Save this community. Lord, to repent and turn to you, Lord Jesus. Save our country. Pull forth your spirit and grant, Lord, an awakening that people would turn from trusting in themselves and living for themselves and thinking man's foolish, vain, empty thoughts, and turn to you, Lord Jesus, and know life in you. We make our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this by no means has been an exhaustive study. To say so is almost funny. We have covered a tremendous amount of ground just over the past few weeks that we have been looking together at this theme of just considering the true gospel according to Holy Scripture in light of some of the rivers of rebellion that are just flooding our country. And tonight we want to look at least for this little mini-series, the last of these sort of variations on a theme. And I hope you have been struck with how so many of these movements are related to each other and kind of have been built upon one another. And here we are in 2020, and there is an organization called Black Lives Matter that has just become so prominent and powerful in our whole culture. What do we say about Black Lives Matter? Well, first of all, the words Black Lives Matter, we say a hearty amen. Black lives do matter. Why? Because all men and women are made in the image of God. And every human life matters and ought to be viewed as precious in God's sight. And we see that here in Genesis chapter 5. You see in verse 1 that because Adam was made in the image of God, all of his children, all of his descendants, Eve is made from his side, and God declared in Genesis 1 that male and female, God made mankind in his image, both male and female. And that is also true for the sons and daughters that descended from Adam and Eve. The organization Black Lives Matter tragically puts forth a faulty solution to the sad problem that has existed sometimes in large proportions, sometimes to a much lesser degree, not only in this nation, but throughout the history of the world, where different groups of people have mistreated other groups of people. That is not unique to America, sadly. But if you were to read the 1619 project that the New York Times championed and put forth, that America did not start in 1776, but it started in 1619, and that America supposedly is this wicked nation that has been built upon the whole movement of slavery and for the purpose of perpetuating slavery. Well, what do we say to that? And you can see how this critical race theory and this idea of systemic racism comes into play now, because Black Lives Matter organization assumes that that is the case. But a true looking at the history of this country says, sadly, the first slave owner in North America was a black man. That is a shocking thing to think about. That was the first slave owner, was a black man who owned black slaves. May God have mercy upon us. The Lord says that the issue of racism is something that, yes, we need to address from Holy Scripture, but the organization of Black Lives Matter, drawing from critical race theory and its Marxist paradigm, doesn't have the answers. No, the Lord says that we are all descended from Adam, and that the solution to the horror of man being alienated from God and alienated from one another is to repent, to turn, and look to the last Adam and believe in him. We see in Genesis chapter 5 this string of men who live and then they die. Descended from Seth. We see Enoch, though, not die. And in Hebrews chapter 11, he was whisked up to heaven, one of two men recorded in Scripture. Elijah, the prophet, the second one, who did not taste physical death. All the rest of mankind, we will die unless we are in that generation that is the last generation before our Lord Jesus comes to end history. But as Hebrews chapter 9 tells us, it is appointed unto man to die once, and after that comes judgment. And so the only solution, the only hope, is for Jesus to take the hatred out of our hearts, to transform us, to forgive us of the guilt of our sin and deliver us from the power of sin, to no longer be at war with God and at war with our fellow man made in the image of God. Only Jesus can do that. Over in Titus chapter 3, we see a call for God's people to love the people around us. In verse 1 of Titus 3, remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, to show perfect courtesy toward all people. That's how Christians are supposed to treat their fellow man. Why? Verse 3, for we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. But when the goodness and the loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, He saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by His grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The Lord calls upon us to be a people who show the mercy God has showered upon us to our fellow man, regardless of what amount of melanin we have in our skin. We are all made in the image of God and descended from Adam, and we are all fallen in Adam. And the only one who can bring mankind first to reconciliation with our Creator, and then in the Lord Jesus Christ, one with another, is the Redeemer, Jesus of Nazareth, the eternal Son of God who has come and taken on human flesh. And sadly, tragically, the organization Black Lives Matter denies the only solution that can address the problem of race relations being sour, not only in this nation, but in any nation throughout all of history. Only Jesus the Redeemer can establish peace. He alone is the Prince of Peace. And so that's the first thing that we see. The organization Black Lives Matter was started in the year, does anybody know? 2013. Think about that. 2013. Now, critical race theory, you remember we saw it started in its present form in 1989. And critical theory that it was an offshoot went back into the 1940s and the 1950s. And it was an offshoot of the Fabian socialist movement that had grown in Great Britain, and it was an offshoot of Marxist ideology from the mid-1800s. And so these things are all kind of flowing out of each other, but they all have one thing in common. They all deny that God is the Creator. They all deny that God made mankind in His image. They all deny that we are fallen in Adam, that that is the root of the problem. And therefore, they obviously all deny that the only solution to the problem of mankind being at war with each other is the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ, revealed in Holy Scripture, the gospel according to Holy Scripture. So that's point number one as we consider the organization Black Lives Matter. Secondly, and I'm not going to spend much time on this, the organization Black Lives Matter puts forth a faulty solution to not only the race issue, but to economic problems. And surely there are people who have economic struggles in our country. What is the answer to it? It is not Marxism. And you remember I've read several weeks ago, made reference to a museum display in Washington, D.C. at the Smithsonian Institute in a section called the African American Museum section. And it had a chart in a section of that called the whiteness chart. And you remember when we were looking at the false religion, the false messiah of critical race theory, we said that what critical race theory is calling people to do is to confess their sin. And according to the false religion of critical race theory, sin is whiteness. Well, in this display in the Smithsonian Institute, and they have since modified it, but it is just startling to think that this was up in a museum paid for by tax dollars, your tax dollars at work. And this was a horribly offensive display, not only to people who are less melanated, but people who are more melanated. In other words, white and black. Those who understand the truth of the gospel, what they were referring to, things in this display, things like whiteness is described, or characteristics of whiteness, quote, reliance on the scientific method. This is unbelievable. Rugged individualism. The nuclear family. We're going to come back and say more about that in a little bit. There was a black gentleman who was being interviewed on a nationally known program after this, and he said, quote, to call those skills somehow a racial category would make David Duke proud. And if you know anything about David Duke, a leader in a very wicked organization, the Ku Klux Klan. There were black people who condemned this. These aren't characteristics of whiteness or white privilege. These are character traits that God says in His Word ought to be found in every person. These are character traits of righteousness. Well, let's look a little bit more at this organization, Black Lives Matter. Now, it's kind of tricky. Black Lives Matter started in 2013. Over the past year, the organization Black Lives Matter has been given between $600 and $700 million from individuals and corporations in this country and other places in the world, but its focus is the United States. That is a staggering amount of resources. Here are some of the statements from the Black Lives Matter website. And before we look at that, I want to read a quote from one of the founders of Black Lives Matter. And I apologize, I have so many articles. I hope I can put my finger on this quote quickly. Yeah, here it is. There were three black women who were the founders of the organization Black Lives Matter. Patrice Cullors, Alicia Garza, and Opal Tometi. And they are known as the Black Lives Matter community organizers. But in an interview that was recorded, and you can still find this interview on the internet, Patrice Cullors was reassuring a gentleman who was interviewing her, where are you coming from ideologically? What's your framework? And here's what she said, quote, we do, now this is Patrice Cullors, we do have an ideological frame. Myself and Alicia in particular are trained organizers. Now, the term organizer, does that ring any bells? You familiar with any other organizers in our recent history? There was a fellow by the name of Saul Alinsky, and one of his disciples was a fellow by the name of Barack Obama. He was a community organizer. What do community organizers do? Well, they seek to foment revolution. They seek to organize people to address the quote-unquote ills of society and fix things. But they do so from the standpoint of Marxism. And so here's the rest of the quote in this interview. And this is not taken out of context. She said, myself and Alicia in particular are trained organizers. We are trained Marxists. That's what she said in this interview. In other words, she said, here's where we're coming from. And here we have people all over this country who have gotten on this bandwagon of thinking that this organization somehow is going to address the problems that we find in our country. And what a false gospel it is. Marxism does not have the answers to address the ills of a society. And I'm not going to go back and review the things that we saw about what God says about how he calls people to gain wealth the way he has ordained. And I'll just review. He says that we are to, if we're able-bodied, do what? Work with our own hands to provide for ourselves and our families. And as we read there in Ephesians chapter 4, and also be able to minister to the people around us who are in need. And so work and private ownership of property is something that God says is a good thing. Black Lives Matter organization says, no, it is not. Marxism, the civil government ought to own everything and redistribute at the point of a sword all resources. This is a false gospel. Wherever socialism, Marxism, communism has been tried, it always leaves a trail of tears and physical death and emotional destruction to a people. Cuba, Venezuela, the old Soviet Union, Cambodia, the Pol Pot regime, Vietnam, North Korea. And they build walls to keep their people in. They build walls so their people can't escape the nightmare. And that's sadly the false gospel that this organization is peddling. Well, thirdly, they advocate the destruction of the nuclear family. Now, what we mean by nuclear is the family as described by Almighty God in Holy Scripture. Western civilization, as we saw this morning, is built upon the fabric, basically, that God describes in Holy Scripture. That you have a division of power spread out. You don't concentrate power up at the top. a society where there is a division of power, where individuals have responsibility and family is the basic building unit. That's where the focus of power is. And you have the church. It has its own job and duty. And then you have civil government. Well, the Black Lives Matter organization, and they have taken some of these things off of their website because the truth was getting out. They haven't renounced being Marxist. They haven't renounced their war against the nuclear family. But they do understand it's a little harder to have the millions rolling in quite as quickly if people really understand what they are about. And the Lord tells us that the family, as He defines it, it is a very important thing. As we read at the end of the book of Malachi, the Lord promised that when the herald of Messiah would come, that He would do a great work. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. And He will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction. There is no doubt that there are many families where there is sorrow and heartache. But it's not because the institution of marriage or the family is faulty. It is because of sin. It is striking that the three women who were the founders of Black Lives Matter are all lesbians, self-professed lesbians. They are at war against what God Almighty says the order of society ought to be. Now, I mentioned a thing called intersectionality, which is one of the offshoots of or sort of aspects of critical race theory. Intersectionality was a term that has been kind of recent in. I'm not going to take the time to go through the history of the woman who came up with the idea. But basically what intersectionality is that each person has, you find yourself on the graph of being either oppressed or oppressor. And again, you can think in terms of, this is a Marxist way of viewing things. And the Black Lives Matter movement organization is peddling this idea of intersectionality, and that's what you need to know and be putting into practice if we're ever going to solve the problems of society. That's the message of Black Lives Matter, the organization. And the way intersectionality works, the term intersect, okay? That there are degrees of being disadvantaged that intersect. And the most disadvantaged, the most oppressed person in all of society is, guess who? A black lesbian woman who is, she's the most oppressed. Next to her would be a black woman heterosexual. And then you would have a black man who is a homosexual. And then a black man who is a heterosexual. And at the other end of the graph, those that are the oppressors are, guess who? Well, the most oppressive are white males. And the solution, according to Black Lives Matter, is you need to confess that our whole system is faulty and needs to be literally burned down. And therefore it needs to be replaced with a socialistic, a Marxist view of how society ought to be ordered. And these statements that are made, you can see that present. For example, let me find this quote. Don't want to lose that one. Here we go. On their website, they say, "We are expansive. We are a collective of liberators who believe in an inclusive and spacious movement. We also believe that in order to win and bring as many people with us along the way, we must move beyond the narrow nationalism that is all too prevalent in black communities." In other words, to buy into the American dream with its vestiges of Christian thinking and institutions. We've got to get rid of all of that, according to the Black Lives Matter organization. She goes on, "We are working, quote, for a world where black lives are no longer systematically targeted for demise." And so what is it that targets people systematically to be in demise? Well, on another place on their website, quote, "We build a space that affirms black women and is free from sexism, misogyny, and environments in which men are centered." In other words, if you are a white male and you say, "I'm not a racist," according to Black Lives Matter, they say that's proof right there. You are racist. If you say you're not, that's proof that you are. You can't see how you are oppressing just by existing. Louis Farrakhan, who has been on the fringe for a long time, has been advocating openly a solution to this problem. And you know what his solution is? Well, we just need to kill all the white males. That'll take care of it. That's his solution. She said, "We disrupt the Western prescribed nuclear family structure requirement by supporting each other as extended families and villages that collectively care for one another, especially our children. We foster a queer-affirming network. When we gather, we do so with the intention of freeing ourselves from the tight grip of heteronormative thinking." In other words, if you think that the norm is for husbands and wives, male and female, you're hopeless. You need to be, according to Black Lives Matter, you need to be liberated. But of all the things that Black Lives Matter organization is peddling and built upon, perhaps the most startling, even more than what we have looked at, is their admission, and their, Patrice Cullors, that Black Lives Matter is a spiritual movement. I'm going to read some quotes. "Spirituality," this is Cullors, "is at the center of BLM, Black Lives Matter." She said during a June 13th Zoom call with Dr. Malina Abdullah, who is a co-founder of the Black Lives Matter chapter of Los Angeles, as they discussed the methods by which they, quote, "practice traditions from West African places." Now, I'm not going to go into the details But there is a religion, a cult religion that worships ancestors, and they offer libations to dead ancestors. Now keep that in the back of your mind. Cullors said, as we are pouring libations on the ground, the people present are encouraged to chant a word, A-S-E, a say. And Cullors clarified that this is a Yoruba term. Yoruba is the tribe in that place of West Africa. And she said, quote, it is often used by practitioners of this false religion, Ifa, a faith and divination system that originated in West Africa, end of quote. Now, this is Patrice Cullors explaining the spirituality. I'm not putting words in her mouth. I'm quoting from this interview. She said, quote, it's a very important practice when people in this Black Lives Matter, the meetings, they chant the names of people who have died recently and in the past with this term, ASA, which is, and we're going to see what that's all about. It's a very important practice, said Cullors. Hashtags... And online, people are encouraged to use the Black Lives Matter hashtag practice of taking the names of these dead people that this movement is saying, we've got to draw attention to this and draw our strength from them. Hashtags are for us way more than a hashtag. This is a quote. It is literally almost resurrecting spirits so they can work through us to get the work that we need to get done. I started to feel personally connected and responsible and accountable to them, both from a deeply political place, but also from a deeply spiritual place. Abdullah went on in this interview between her and Patrice Cullors. She explained that when they, quote, say the names, they are invoking that spirit of that dead person. And then those spirits actually become present with you. Now, you know what the Bible calls this? Witchcraft, divination, sorcery. She said, maybe I'm sharing too much. But this quote, but we become very intimate with the spirits that we call on regularly. Alexander Abraham Hamilton III, who is a Harvard-trained lawyer who has a radio program, who was commenting on this, he said, quote, they're not doing what you think they're doing. He said, you think they're just honoring people. He said, quote, they are conjuring up spirits. May the Lord have mercy upon us. This movement, Black Lives Matter, it is a false religion. And it is leading people to even greater darkness and destruction. Praise God, Jesus is the light of the world. And instead of practicing witchcraft and the occult, we need to be telling people of Jesus Christ. And we need to be standing shoulder to shoulder with brothers and sisters of our Lord Jesus Christ, regardless of the color of their skin, to address the issues of our day and stand together to lift up the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, let's pray. Father, it is shocking to us to think that an organization like Black Lives Matter could have gained such a positive reception in our country. Lord, a part of it is a testimony to the desire of people's hearts to want to show mercy and kindness. Lord, it also is a shocking display of the ignorance that, Lord, people are just swept along by the latest fad without thinking and analyzing according to your word. Lord God, how we thank you that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And Lord, we thank you that you have the power to not only forgive people who are caught in these sins of lesbianism and homosexuality and Marxism and all of these false ideologies. Lord, you not only have the power to forgive and wash in the blood of Jesus, but to transform and make people a new creation in you and bring people together, not only to love you, Lord, but to love one another in your name. And so, Lord God, we ask for the gospel to go forth in our day. We ask, Lord God, that you would make us wise and that you would give to us great patience and kindness and gentleness as we seek to stand for you in this day against falsehood. We pray for our young people and children, Lord, that are in such danger, Lord, in the academic institutions with the lies that are spewed forth with such regularity, even on so-called Christian campuses. Lord, there are whole denominations of professing Christians in our country that have embraced these movements that we have seen are against your word. And so, Lord God, open the eyes of people in this land. And Lord God, how we thank you that you have had mercy upon us, and we confess we need you, Lord Jesus, to wash our sins away and make us right with you and give us a heart of love for you and love for our fellow man. Lord God, hear our cry. Bless now as we continue to worship you together this evening. In Jesus we pray. Amen.